Fascism bubbles underground with nationalist rantings, the demonization of minorities or outsiders, and anti-democratic sentiment. That bubbling has been getting closer to the surface in Europe and can be seen in Viktor Orban's Hungary, Erdogan's Turkey, and political victories of nationalists in France and Italy. Fascism is not traditionally something we equate with leaders in the U.S. However, a rise in Christian nationalism and their chosen candidates is making many historians and political scientists rethink some things. Donald Trump is running for president again. His first term was filled with daily mischaracterizations, misrepresentations, and easily disprovable lies. The big lie, the one that remains for Trump on the campaign trail, is that he was the true winner of the 2020 presidential election. Ruth Ben-Ghiat is a history professor at NYU and the author of Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. It's a look at common traits among tyrants. She joins us now. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
So Donald Trump was just in Metro Detroit for a rally ahead of the coming presidential primary. I'd like to get your thoughts on some of the things the former president is saying on the campaign trail. Sound fun?
Yeah.
Excellent. So here is the first clip, and I found it very interesting.
Every time the radical left, Democrats, Marxists, communists, and fascists indict me, I consider it a great badge of honor. I am being indicted for you. Never forget. I'm being indicted for you. Never forget, our enemies want to take away my freedom because I will never let them take away your freedom. I will not do that.
What do you make of a statement like that?
So one of the things that marks out strongmen, if you have a politician and you want to know, are they a strongman? Are they an authoritarian? One of the things they do is they play the victim. And they do this as a kind of insurance policy very early on, where they say that they're persecuted by, you know, and it's a changing cast of characters, because Mussolini did this, Erdogan did this, Silvio Berlusconi in Italy, they all talked about witch hunts against themselves. So it could be George Soros, it could be in earlier periods, the Rothschilds, those were the Jewish ones, the deep state. And so when they play the victim and people start to bond with them and believe them, then any subsequent indictments or revelations that come out are more proof of their persecution by their enemies. So that's one thing. The other is, strongmen make sure that they represent the nation, but they don't just represent the nation like democratic leaders who represent us at world summits. They embody the nation, and they take the hits on behalf of the nation.
Mm.
And Hitler did that very well for the German people. He convinced them he was, you know, taking the hits for them. And so when Trump says they're indicting me because they want to get to you, I'm just standing in the way, and he turns his being held accountable by the law into, as he says, a badge of honor. And so he becomes a hero to the people, and that distracts them from seeing that he's charged with criminal offenses.
Yeah, and speaking of playing the victim, that kind of leads us into the next clip I want to play, because Trump's legal woes are well documented at this point, with him racking up hundreds of millions of dollars in civil penalties, and we haven't even gotten to the criminal cases yet. He attacked Judge Arthur Engoron at the rally over the weekend.
He's a crooked judge. By a radical left-wing judge was a lawless and unconstitutional atrocity that sets fire to our laws like no one has ever seen in this country before. That happens in banana republics. It doesn't happen in this country.
How common are attacks on the judiciary in authoritarian regimes?
That's like authoritarianism 101. So authoritarians are all corrupt. And many of them already have criminal records, or they are facing charges or indictments, and that's why they run for office. So regular politicians who have problems with the law don't want to run for office because, you know, you have journalists probing and people watching and opposition research. Authoritarians are compelled to run for office so they can get into power and shut down any legal problems that they have by taking control of the judiciary. So what they start to do while they're campaigning is start to discredit the judiciary. And so anybody who targets them, tries to hold them accountable, must be dismissed as crooked, or, going back to what I said before, a member of the conspiracy to, you know, stop his heroic saving the nation. So that's part of it. And then what he's doing now, which is very disturbing to me, a third of my book is about coups, he strings together these words, you know, it's unconstitutional, the radical left, atrocities, banana republic, and he is saying to his followers, I'm going to sweep all that away and I'm going to establish a different kind of state, a state of law and order. But from Mussolini forward, that kind of talk leads to taking away our rights, because every regime sets itself up as freedom and law and order. That's all over the world, whether it's right wing or left wing. They all come in and say, I am reestablishing law and order, and then they, you know, start to arrest and torture people.
Mm. Maybe kind of along that line, this next clip is not from the recent rally, but from a Fox News town hall this week.
It's a new category. I don't know if you've heard this, but I came up with this one, migrant crime. There's crime, there's violent crime, there's migrant crime. We have a new category of crime. It's called migrant crime, and it's going to be worse than any other form of crime.
Is this more fear-mongering bluster, or do you think there is something more sinister at play here?
I was raising my eyebrows while I was listening to that. I had not heard that before. Unfortunately for us and other peoples in the world who lose their freedoms, these strongmen are extremely good communicators. And I was surprised in my doing my research for my book how many of them have a past in journalism, not just Mussolini, but Mobutu, or they're in marketing, like Trump. So migrant crime is a fantastic slogan. It's easy to repeat. And he's saying, oh, this is something new. He's basically saying, I just thought of this. It's my latest marketing thing. And we have a new category of crime, migrant crime. And you're going to see this repeated all over the right-wing media ecosystem. And that the purpose of it is to further kind of criminalize any kind of immigrant. And thus, when he if he comes back into office and starts doing things that violate human rights or violent things against immigrants, which he said he's going to do, mass deportations, camps, people will be disposed to think, yeah, we needed that because of migrant crime. So it's very hard to deal with these people because they are such able propagandists and marketers and sloganeers, and it has worked all over the world for 100 years. So that's my reaction to his latest coinage of something that will be used to justify policies.
And I should mention that studies have shown that immigrants who come to this country are much more unlikely to commit crimes than actual citizens of the United States and natural-born citizens of the United States.
Yeah, and it angers me. I'm first-generation American, and my father came here and you know, worked as a defense subcontractor and had a security clearance and found his footing here and where he faced prejudice where he came from, and so worked for, you know, the Navy. And so this kind of smearing of immigrants who contribute huge amounts of productivity and ingenuity to our nation makes me personally very angry.
Trump did not want to cede power after the 2020 election. That culminated in his supporters at his direction to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. His lies about Detroit specifically continued.
We got to watch Detroit. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They had such horrible abuse. You know, they had more ballots. Do you know this? They had more ballots than they had voters. Do you know that?
This has been a common line. And if Trump wins this November, are there legitimate concerns about the end of democratic rule in the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely. And Trump and his many, many thousands of suit-wearing enablers, because you need, you know, the thugs like those who assaulted the Capitol on January 6th who do the violence, but you need vast numbers of people who sit in offices and wear suits and plan all of the things out, and that's what Project 2025 is, that's what somebody like Stephen Miller is. and huge amounts of forces are coming together, and they are telling us they're going to end our democracy as we know it now. They're going to do, you know, mass purges of the civil service. If you intend to do unlawful things or corrupt things, you need to have the right kind of civil servant there, i.e. the wrong kind for professional ethics and morals. And so I don't think many Americans are prepared because there's the idea it can't happen here. But the outcome of my research shows that everyone thought that and then it happened and nobody was prepared. And so we can learn from history that it can happen anywhere. And indeed, nowadays, they tell you what they're going to do ahead of time. And that's what Trump and his enablers are doing now.
Finally, you ask an interesting question in the epilogue of your book, Strong Men. What happens in a bipartisan system when one of the two parties are turning toward autocracy? So it's been a couple of years since you posited that question. Are we getting a clear understanding of that now?
Unfortunately, yes, because the GOP, in my view, is a fully autocratic party. It has a leader cult, which is a sign. I will never forget, as long as I live, the spectacle, totally out of keeping with American history, of the first presidential candidate debate of GOP candidates. They stood on the stage. They're all running against each other, and they're all running against Donald Trump, who wasn't there. And they were raising their hands to pledge their loyalty to support him, even if he becomes a convicted felon. So thus, totally undercutting their own power, their own reputation, humiliating themselves for a man who hasn't been in office for several years and wasn't even there. So it's a party with a leader cult. It's a party, very unfortunately, if it had its own independent foreign policy, it would be completely pro-autocratic and, in particular, completely pro-Putin. And this is not who we are as a nation. And so what's happened in the 2 years since I wrote the book is a kind of very concerted attempt to delegitimize democracy, to prove it doesn't work, to delegitimize the office of the president now because it's occupied by Joe Biden, to smear and to use Congress, to use the courts, to everything to show their scorn for democratic institutions. And it's been quite a mustering of forces to do that, and it has worked on many people.
Ruth Ben-Ghiat is a history professor at NYU and the author of Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.